audio on clips from Book About Mediums in Brazil, The Flying Cow or Exploring the Psychic World of Brazil. Of Guy Lyon Playfair. The first edition of this book was published in 1975. Numbers read out maybe footnotes that have not been removed for this audio edition of this book, which was made for my personal listening, but if other spiritual researchers can also enjoy it, then it is shared here. Introduction. The telephone rang in my São Paulo apartment one day in 1974. The caller told me she had just arrived in Brazil and had been given my number by a friend of a friend. She was interested, she said, in psychic phenomena. What can I do for you? I asked. I had a deadline to meet for a long and boring commercial translation job. I'd like to see a materialization, she replied. Tonight, if possible. So would I said. But the last one I heard about was 10 years ago and 350 miles away, and was probably faked. Oh. Perhaps a psychic operation, then? You know, those people who do operations with their bare hands. I knew. But the only psychic surgeon I could recommend in São Paulo was on holiday. Well, maybe just a levitation or something? The eager voice went on. Or one of those poltergeists. I began to feel like the manager of a toy shop that has suddenly run out of toys. I excused myself, gave my caller some other phone numbers to try, and went back to my translation. I needed the money to finance my own researches into all these things, which I had been doing since my arrival in São Paulo the previous year. Would this have happened anywhere else but in Brazil? Is there any major city in the world where a visitor would expect to come across examples of almost every known type of psychic phenomenon within minutes of stepping off a jet? I doubt it. For Brazil is surely the world's most psychic nation as well as one of the largest. Fifth in both area and population. Imagine a country stretching from Edinburgh to the Sahara Desert and from Lisbon to Istanbul with a population fast approaching 200 million. According to its 2010 census, in a land of such a size, strange things are bound to happen, and so they do, being generally accepted as normal rather than paranormal. Almost anything is possible. Brazilians like to tell the story of the man who comes home one day and tells his wife he has just seen a cow flying across the road. Her immediate reaction is not to question his sanity, but merely to ask, "Are you? Oh, really? What color was it?" So it was hardly surprising for Brazil to be visited by another TV crew, solitary reporter or just curious tourist looking for some of the action they had heard about from friends of friends or read about in the books of such experts in the stranger side effects of Brazilian spiritism as Pedro McGregor, David Streetclair, Issa Gray, John G. Fuller and Anduli. 1. What was surprising is that so little else had been written about psychic phenomena in Brazil and the spiritist context in which many of them tend to occur. It should be an ideal country for research, for there seem to be too many phenomena and too few researchers. Indeed, until more than halfway through the 20th century, there were almost no serious researchers at all in this field. The first Brazilian to make a sustained attempt to study his country's psychic scene on a scientific basis, and to collect a vast amount of first-hand evidence for it, was Hernia Magalhães Andrade, an engineer and senior civil servant in the São Paulo state government who in 1963 founded the Instituto Brasileiro de Pesquisas Psicobiológicas, Brazilian Institute for Psychobiophysical Research, or IBPP. Of which a good deal more anon. Perhaps I should first explain what had led my caller to think I might be able to provide some psychic entertainment on demand. What had I done to get such a reputation? Let me sketch in some background. I arrived in Rio de Janeiro in 1961 as an English teacher hired by the British Council, although I had no experience of teaching English or indeed anything else. After a couple of years I was offered an extension of my contract, a passage home, or the price of a passage home. So luckily I took the money and stayed, determined to do what I really wanted to do, which was write. I started in the traditional way on the local paper, the Brazil Herald, then moved up to Brazilian Business, the monthly journal of the American Chamber of Commerce for Brazil, also managing to do some moonlighting for Time, the Associated Press, The Economist, and several other outlets for my, hopefully, emerging talent. I then spent 4 years working full-time in the press department of the U.S. Agency for International Development, said. For 7 or 8 years I was able to earn my living and generally enjoy myself. Then, in 1971, the press office at SED was abolished and I became redundant. By then, my Portuguese was good enough to do translations and interpreting at news conferences, and before long I was doing very nicely as a freelance. I seemed set for a comfortable life in Rio. All this time I had never taken more than a passing interest in stories I occasionally heard about flying saucers, and flying cows, psychic surgeons and so on. I had been quite impressed by a ceremony I had attended in which a young woman was initiated into one of the many Afro-Brazilian cults, but somehow I never explored the subject any further. Then one day in 1972, Larry Carr dropped in for a chat. He was a Hollywood actor who had come to Rio to make a film some 8 years previously and decided to stay on. I had met him while doing some script translation for the film, and was intrigued by his accounts of the local spiritist scene, which he had clearly taken the trouble to study at first hand, and had even become a member of a spiritist group headed by Pedro McGregor, which I also joined more out of curiosity than any kind of religious conviction. So when Larry asked me if I would like to meet a psychic surgeon, I thought why not? And in part 2 I describe what I saw when I did meet him. It was after that meeting, and my visits to Pedro's group, that I felt all this psychic stuff should at least be investigated. If it was all illusory, if not totally false, it might at least make a fun story, perhaps a background mailer for the Associated Press. Before long I was satisfied, as I will describe, that it was not all illusion or fakery. I read everything I could find on psychical research in Brazil, which did not take very long, and I soon came to the conclusion that there were more things going on around me than were dreamt of in Horatio's philosophy, or anybody else's. I needed some first-hand evidence, though, and I asked Pedro if he knew of anybody in Brazil who was doing the kind of work that was done in Britain by the Society for Psychical Research. Yes, Pedro said, there was a man in São Paulo named Andrade who was doing this, and thought I ought to meet him. He didn't have an address for him, though, and I had no idea how to contact someone with a fairly common surname in a city of several million people. Then I happened to pick up a book in a bookshop and saw his name on the back cover as editorial consultant. So, I thought, the publisher must know how to get in touch with him. On an impulse, I hopped on a bus, and as I rolled along the 250-mile motorway to São Paulo that USAID had helped to build, the idea slipped into my head that I was going to move there. Arriving early one Monday morning, I headed at once for the publishing house, where a friendly secretary promptly put through a call to Andrade's office, and told him that a British writer from Rio would like to meet him. Half an hour later, I was in his office, and an hour later I left feeling that we were old friends. Hernia said I would be welcome to work with his institute, the IBPP. He could not offer me any payment, since he financed the institute out of his modest salary as a civil servant, but I would be free to write about anything I might find in his files. It was an offer I could not possibly refuse, and I accepted it without hesitation. But I still had to earn a living somehow, so leaving Hernani's office with the promise that I would be back, I got in touch with a translation agency a friend in Rio had mentioned to me. The owner was glad to see me, as he was getting more orders than he could handle, and promised me plenty of work at rates far higher than I had been getting in Rio. Then I looked up an old friend from my teaching days who now had his own language school, and offered me a spare bed in his basement while I looked for a flat to rent. So in one day I had been offered a well-paid job, a place to stay, and a chance to do research with the IBPP. That was the day my life changed. Now for a word on the spiritist background with which most of the contents of this book are connected in some way or other. The words spiritist or spiritualist may conjure up visions of funny old ladies peering at crystal balls, communing with Native American guides, and talking a lot of trivial rubbish. The position in Brazil is somewhat different. There are at least three major Brazilian religious cults in which belief in spirits and their active participation in our earth lives is implicit. I am mainly concerned here with the largest of these, which is known as academicism, or Christian spiritism according to its codifier, the Frenchman who wrote under the pseudonym Alain Icard, 1804-69. Spiritism, which has been well entrenched in Brazil since the end of the 19th century, is not quite the same as spiritualism. A spiritualist, according to Icard, believes that there is in him something more than matter, whereas a spiritist accepts communication with the spirits of the departed on a regular basis. A spiritist is automatically a spiritualist, but the reverse may not be true. Many spiritualists of Icard's time did not believe in reincarnation, for instance. This is a fundamental cornerstone of spiritism, and Icard was one of the first to popularize the concept of it in Europe, while his follower Gabriel Delany, 1857-1926, was the first to collect evidence for it. Spiritism, as presented in Icard's The Spirits Book, 1857, is a science and a philosophy as well as a religion. It is the only religion that can claim to be based on scientifically demonstrated and repeatable facts rather than on unverifiable traditions, occult revelations or subjective mysticism. Icard was no mystic or pagan, but a stolid and rather pompous schoolmaster who was educated in Switzerland. He insisted that he did not invent or found spiritism himself. His books contain instructions purportedly dictated by to him the spirits themselves via a couple of Parisian mediums, and Icard refused either personal credit or payment for them. His role was merely that of codifier. He defined the purpose of spiritism as follows: to make a coherent whole of what has hitherto been scattered, to explain, in clear and precise terms, what has hitherto been wrapped up in the language of allegory, to eliminate the products of superstition and ignorance from human belief, leaving only what is real and actual. 2. It was intended to complement and complete existing religions rather than replace them, and spiritists fully accept Icard's view that the faith he codified was no more than Christianity restored to what it was at the time of its founding, a dynamic and militant creed unencumbered by priests, dogmas and inquisitions, a practical way of life aiming to help us evolve towards our ultimate destiny of pure spirit and communion with the source of all creation. However, Brazilian spiritists are very much concerned with the here and now. Their welfare activities are out of all proportion to their official numbers. They build, staff and run huge hospitals, orphanages, asylums and job training centers that are among the finest in the country. At one time it was officially estimated that spiritists ran no less than 36% of all social assistance establishments in Brazil, though since 1962 the annual government census has not listed social work by religions. The other two major Brazilian cults that are based on acceptance of the spirit world and regular communication with it are Umbanda and Candomblé. The former is a wholly Brazilian blend of traditional African practices with certain superficial features of the Roman Catholic Church, while the latter is a purely African cult brought over by slaves and faithfully preserved, especially in the city of Salvador in the state of Bahia. Each of these is sometimes mistaken for Macumba, a word with no generally accepted definition normally used to denote black magic, for which the correct word is quicksand. Tourists and journalists are usually welcome at Candomblé or Umbanda meetings, and these colorful cults have received far more attention outside Brazil than the less spectacular Icardist meetings, which are usually held in simple unadorned rooms in rented buildings or private homes. It is not true to suggest that Brazil is one vast voodoo arena, with exotic rites at every street corner and African drumming filling the tropical nights along with the smell of incense. Nor is it true, as has been suggested to me by non-Brazilians, that assorted spiritist beliefs are merely a hangover from the country's backward colonial past, confined to rural regions and fast dying out in the big cities. Take São Paulo. This is the largest industrial center in South America, where well over half of Brazil's gross national product is generated. It is a city largely made by immigrants, and a family with a German, Italian, Japanese or Lebanese surname is to be found on every block. Yet no less than one quarter of all Spiritists recorded in a recent government census come from either the state or the city of São Paulo, and the faster the city grows, it is said to be the fastest growing in the world, the stronger the Spiritist movement seems to become. The São Paulo State Spiritist Federation, FES, was founded in 1939 by a group headed by a colonel in the military police. Its impressive headquarters is a large eight-story building a few blocks from the city's main banking district. It was built entirely by voluntary and unpaid labor using donated materials and is staffed by 200 unpaid volunteers, providing free assistance to a daily average of more than 1,000 people. Like Rio de Janeiro's gigantic apparatus Spiritist Center, it must be one of the largest mass psychotherapy clinics in the world. It has a whole room full of files of patients who have been cured of what non-spiritists might call psychological or psychosomatic disorders. The Federation also runs the Casa Transit, a complex of buildings also put up by volunteer labor on a 50,000 square meter piece of former swampland on the outskirts of São Paulo. It specializes in assistance to members of needy families, and offers boys and girls from the slum areas training in a number of skills and trades. Over the years it has helped hundreds of thousands, perhaps millions. Another impressive example of Spiritism in action is the Casa Andrelis in Garulhos, a few miles from São Paulo, where 1,400 retarded children are cared for with love and devotion they would be unlikely to find elsewhere. "We haven't got a welfare state like you have in England," a Brazilian Spiritist told me once. "So we have to provide one as best we can." "What kind of people are the Spiritists?" a visitor once asked me. He seemed to think that they must all be slightly peculiar, if not actually mad. "They're just like anyone else," I replied. "Only perhaps slightly better, on the whole." I mentioned a few names of prominent Spiritists I had met in São Paulo. There was José Freitas Norber, a lawyer and federal deputy for the opposition MDB party, who polled the second largest number of votes in his state in the 1974 elections. In the same year he launched the Falho Espírita, one of several hundred Brazilian periodicals devoted to the propagation of Spiritism. There was Rafaele Rainieri, a former city mayor and senior police officer who was elected state deputy for São Paulo. We shall hear more of his extramural activities later. There was Jarbas Marino, a successful civil engineer who specialized in supermarket construction, and who would dash weekly from his drawing board to give classes in magnetic healing at the Federation, for which he did much of the structural engineering work, for free, of course. He was also a council member of the IBPP, and a regular delegate to international parapsychology congresses. There was Elcia do Bugras, a retired airline company employee who became Brazil's most active Spiritist journalist. As editor of the popular monthly Planeta, she was still working until shortly before her death at the age of 100. There were so many Spiritist doctors in São Paulo that they had their own association, whose members offer their patients spiritual guidance and healing along with conventional treatment, only charging a fee for the latter. Other Spiritists I knew in São Paulo included psychologists, psychiatrists, teachers, government officials, in fact members of just about any walk of life. I was interested to discover that many of them became Spiritists because of personal experience of what they considered evidence for the existence of a non-physical world, agreeing with Kardec that phenomena which are inexplicable by any known laws are occurring all over the world, and revealing the action of a free and intelligent will as their cause. As I was soon to find out, they were certainly occurring in Brazil, and this book is about some of them. The first edition of The Flying Cow was published in 1975, followed a year later by The Indefinite Boundary. For this edition I have combined the two, omitting material that did not relate to my own experiences and adding some new cases that were investigated by my IBPP colleagues after I had left Brazil and returned to England. I have also omitted material that has now been published separately, my account of the career of Brazil's best-known medium Francisco Candido, Chico, Xavier, and three of the best cases from the IBPP files. Although Chico deserves, and now has, a book to himself, no survey of the Brazilian psychic scene can be considered complete without mention of this remarkable medium who, on his death in 2002 at the age of 91, was described by no less than President Fernando Henrique Cardoso, as a great spiritual leader who touched the hearts of all Brazilians, who over the years have learned to respect his deep commitment to the well-being of his neighbors. In 2010, the Brazilian Post Office issued a special stamp to mark the centenary of his birth, and 2 million cinemagoers paid to see the feature film based on his life, entitled simply Chico Xavier, within a month of its release. He had, in short, become a national hero who had even been nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize, no mean feat for the barely educated son of a lottery ticket seller who had dropped out of school at 14 and done various menial jobs before obtaining regular employment with the Ministry of Agriculture, where he stayed until his retirement in 1961. How had he done it? The answer is simple. He was a medium, and an exceptionally gifted one. While still in his teens, he began to write poems, which he always insisted were not his own work but were dictated to him by some of the best-known Brazilian and Portuguese poets. He became an overnight literary sensation in 1932 with the publication of a selection of these in Parnaso do Alemte tilde Superscript o Mulo, Parnassus from Beyond the Grave, and over the next 7 decades went on to produce a total of more than 450 books, all of them by spirit authors. They included novels, both contemporary and historical, stories for children, a history of Brazil, works on spiritist doctrine, a couple of scientific treatises and a steady flow of poems. With sales nearing the 50 million mark in his lifetime, Chico could have been a rich man. Yet he never accepted payment for anything he wrote, donating all his royalties to an estimated 2,000 charitable projects and living on his modest government pension. He also brought comfort to many who had lost loved ones prematurely in the form of messages allegedly from the deceased, who would give not only their full names and those of their relatives, but detailed accounts of their cause of death and assurances that they had survived it. One such message became legal history, when a statement from the victim of an accidental shooting was accepted as evidence in court and led to the acquittal of the accused. A follow-up survey of 45 such communications revealed that they contained not a single statement that was untrue. When Chico died, some 120,000 people filed past his coffin, and the governor of his home state of Minas Gerais declared 3 days of mourning. He was indeed a medium like no other. In part 1 I describe 3 cases from the past involving 3 very different mediums: Francisco Lins Paik Soto, Paik Sotino, Carlos Mirabili and Otelia Diago, who between them provide evidence that ranges from the probably genuine to the almost certainly fraudulent. Part 2 deals with the controversial subject of psychic surgery, that is, operations performed by people with no medical qualifications at all in conditions that would make any conventional surgeon shudder. Part 3 is mainly concerned with the most colorful of all psi phenomena, poltergeists, and with cases suggestive of reincarnation, both of which Brazil seems to get more than its fair share of. Tell me, thou unknown power, Macbeth ordered, when he found himself mixed up in an interesting case involving precognition, materialization and a few other inexplicable phenomena. Seek to know no more, the witches told him. I am glad I decided not to take their advice. Part 1, Paik Sotino. Of all psychical phenomena, materialization must be the hardest for most of us to believe. Telepathy and clairvoyance have now become generally accepted even by much of the scientific community, about a century behind psychical researchers. Reincarnation is beginning to look highly plausible, as we shall see in a later chapter, and poltergeists undoubtedly exist, as we shall also see later. But materialization? Spirits of dead people appearing to the living, speaking to them, letting themselves be touched and examined, giving them presents as well as medical treatment and discourses on the life hereafter? For the average rational human, this is too much. Not that there is a lack of evidence. As with so many other varieties of psychical experience, one of the chief problems for modern skeptics is that they must overlook, reject, or simply remain in ignorance of whole shelves of evidence regarding every one of these varieties. At one end of our shelf devoted to materialization, we have the detailed testimony of Sir William Crookes, who has left us most carefully worded descriptions of his experiments with several mediums, using such phrases as absolute proof with regard to full-form materializations. 1. At the other end of our shelf we have the theories of Hernani Gimeres Andrade, who has never witnessed a materialization, but is satisfied that they have taken place on very rare occasions, and has gone to the trouble of working out a scientific hypothesis regarding their mechanisms. How nice it would be if we had evidence for materialization collected by somebody whose professional duties include the gathering of evidence of all kinds. A police officer, for instance. Turning again to the Brazilian section of our shelf, this is just what we find. The book is called Luminous Materializations and its author is Dr. Rafael A. Ranieri, whom I mentioned in my introduction. In 1973 he became one of São Paulo's senior police commissioners after a lifetime in the state force. He was a qualified lawyer, and was also the first spiritist to be elected mayor of his hometown of Garatinguetá, 100 miles east of São Paulo and adjoining the town of Aparecida, one of Brazil's leading Catholic pilgrimage sites. He became so popular during his term that the town had no hesitation in choosing another spiritist to succeed him. His book is subtitled Testimony of a Police Commissioner and is dedicated to a former colonel-in-chief of the state force. This is the declaration of somebody who understands the arts of deceit and illusion, Ranieri states in his matter-of-fact introduction, which is as clear and uncompromising as a report of a traffic accident. Constant suspicion is the police officer's best working instrument and his most powerful weapon. 2. Brought up as a Catholic, Ranieri first became interested in spiritism, as is so often the case in Brazil, because of a severe personal tragedy. In his case it was the sudden death of his daughter Helena, at the age of 2. This was in 1945, and 3 years later, after a series of inexplicable phenomena had taken place in his home, mostly noises made by an invisible agent, he attended his first spiritist session at the invitation of a friend. The group's medium was Francisco Lins Paik Soto, known to all as Paik Sotino, who is now regarded as one of the purest and most irreproachable mediums of all time by Brazilian spiritists. Almost nothing is known of his personal life, except that he was a non-commissioned officer in the Brazilian army, father of a large family, and a physical effects medium who devoted all available spare time to the spiritist cause. He was regarded as one of the most developed and evangelized of mediums, winning the approval of Chico Xavier, which in Brazil amounts to a kind of order of merit, the highest honor a medium can hope for. Ranieri's first contact with Paik Sotino took place in a hotel room in Pedro Leopoldo in February, 1948. As he, the medium and 3 other friends were settling down for the night, the medium began to suffer from one of his regular attacks of asthma, lying on his back and groaning. He asked his friends to pray for him, that the spirits should come and help him. They did so, and we all saw the light green luminous band placed over his chest. The medium's bed was between 2 others, chairs on one side and Inacio da Silva on the other watched the phenomenon from a distance of about 50 to 60 centimeters. I was about 2 to 2.5 meters away. We had arrived at dusk and we had not been separated for a moment, so that there had been no time for any preparation on the part of the medium. The day of the formal meeting arrived, and Paik Sotino told his friends not to drink, smoke or eat meat beforehand. Few Brazilian spiritists do any of these things anyway, Rainieri had known the medium for only 2 or 3 days, and had not discussed any of his personal problems with him. He had not mentioned his dead daughter.